Praise the Lord! Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This message is from the Glory Life City Church. Glory Life City Church is a mandate from God to dispense the glory of heaven in the new creation in Christ, cultivating the apostolic heart of God in the intimate bond of fellowship, love, and power. Join in as the apostle takes us into the Word of God.
So today I'm talking about establishing the heaven on earth prophetic agenda for 2024. Establishing the heaven on earth prophetic agenda for 2024. And our theme scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Literally, when we are to hear the statement, heaven on earth, it is just as it is. There's nothing different from it. So it's simply heaven on earth. Wherever you put earth, it doesn't matter. The most important thing here is that heaven must be seated upon the earth. What you must understand is, generally, when we speak of heaven on earth, everyone's mind goes to bringing heaven, because we always know heaven is a lofty place. And that is what the name actually means, that which is exalted, that which is lofty. So everybody assumes that we must get to the place where we pull. It's like there's a giant that has a very long hands and has the ability to reach to the skies and pull down the heavens and bring it to the earth, then we can say that heaven has been put on earth. So usually when you meet these gospel artists, when they have to do their teasers, they will assure their audience that heaven will kiss the earth. Whatever mouth the heavens has that it will use to kiss the earth, we don't know. But probably by the time I'll be done, maybe we'll understand what did they mean that heaven must kiss the earth. Whenever we speak of heaven on earth, Job speaks of what is called the ordinances of heaven. In the book of Job, chapter number 38, verse 33. Job 38, the verse number 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? When you come to a place like Ghana, there are ordinances in Ghana. It is what makes Ghana, Ghana. The ordinances in Ghana obviously must differ from when you go to Togo, or when you go to Nigeria. Now, whenever we say that Nigeria must be put on Ghana, what we are saying is that the ordinances of Nigeria must be put, or must be juxtaposed to that which is in Ghana. So much so that when you see Ghana, you see Nigeria. That is what happened with our forefathers when the colonial masters came. All they needed to do is to lift up whatever country they were coming from and put it on their slave. And we call it colonialism. It is the same thing God has been dreaming of from the ancients of days. He says that, knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? When the ordinance has come, what did he say? He says that, Canst thou set the dominion thereof upon the earth? So, in the year when we are saying that heaven must be on the earth, what we are saying is that we want to throw away everything that is of the earth. You understand why the Bible will say, for we are not of the earth. We do not carry the spirit of this world. Because there is a certain spirit in this world that is not that which we are parting after. We are parting after a certain ordinance in the heavens. When we capture that ordinance, the next thing that must follow is the dominion of it thereof in the earth. Sometimes it is the heavens that come to the earth. There are other times, like what the Bible speaks of the people in Capernaum in Matthew chapter 11, I think from the verse 23 downwards. The Bible was speaking about the judgment day, and it says that Capernaum was lifted up unto heaven. Capernaum is on the earth. But the Bible says that Capernaum, and it says that, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven. What does the Bible mean for a city to be exalted up unto heaven? It said that we would have to literally lift it up. And then like Captain Planet, we just have to ascend into the skies and go to heaven. What it means for something to be exalted to the level of the heavens is that when knowing the ordinances of heaven, when you are able to translate whatever is in the heavens to the earth, you have exalted the earth. When we have come to that place, we have also come to the place where we said there is heavens upon the earth. So by now, you would understand why Matthew chapter number 6, the verse 10, when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he says that when you pray, pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is a colonial term. So let me say this to you. Just in case you do not hear any other thing after us, take this with you and go. In the year of heaven on earth, don't only be interested in the manifestations of the heavens upon the earth. Because if it is going to be on earth as it is in heaven, it means that we must see the ordinances of heaven play out on the earth. But it is not only the earth. We have come to the place of heaven on earth when his will is your will. Let me bring it to your level so that you wouldn't only think when it is heaven on earth, then it means that it is about the church. The whole duty of man on earth. You see, during the morning service, Pastor Theo said something. He said that there is a man that he has seen 5 years from now. And then when he looks at him now, he hasn't gotten there yet. That is the will. By the time he exits out of his body now and goes to meet that man 5 years from now, he has come to the place of heaven on earth. Because that man 5 years from now is in the heavens. When you see him and when you see what he's doing, you have seen the ordinances of the heavens. So when you understand it this way, when we stand in judgment, it is not about that sin that you committed. Did you see the ordinances about your own life? And did you play it out on the earth? When we stand before the Bema seat, all that we would be rewarded is, and not that we don't have to leave the area of visions and revelation to only the prophets. Because for you to know his will, and play it out on the earth, you must see as it is in the heavens. So what we are talking about is not, it's not child's play. It's not child's play. That is why a man like Moses, the Bible would say, when he had to build the ark, it had to be exactly as the pattern he saw in the heavens. So that if you know the pattern, this is 100 meters square. When you bring it down, you have juxtaposed the heavens upon the earth. So, when God wanted man to understand this vision that he had for the heavens to visit the earth, he planted a garden. That was his first agenda of colonizing the earth. Because the essence of the garden was for his presence to dwell on the earth. And that would have been his headquarters from which, or from where he would colonize the whole earth. So the Garden of Eden was supposed to be heavens on the earth. That is why if you want to understand the things of the heavens, understand the operations that was in the garden. When that one failed, he brought in the concept of the ark, which was also supposed to house his presence on the earth. By the time I will be done, you will understand that anywhere God's presence is, heaven is there. Take his presence out and heaven is never there. Amen. Having understood this, what then is the heavens? The word heaven is from the Hebrew word shamayim. Shamayim. And those of you who are coming for fitness in the word, I'm sure, or I want to believe that you haven't thrown your aleph bet away. The gematria and then the so shamayim is from the letter shin. Or let me even break it down from this end, then I'll come to the letters. So shamayim is actually from esh, which means fire in English, and mayim, which means water. So anytime heavens come to mind, know that we are dealing with a conglomeration of fire and water. Don't use that your earthly mind, because all we know is that when fire and water come together, it's either the fire will consume the water or the water will consume the fire. But that is the composition of the heavens. The heavens is made up of the fire and the water. And the alphabet is this way. The esh is from the word. Are they projecting? Okay, good. The esh is from the letter shin. Shin has the gematria of 300. When we speak of gematria, we are in Hebrew alphabets, every alphabet has a corresponding value. So just as we have in English, obviously, A will be 1, B will be 2. It's the same thing with the Hebrew alphabet. So, Shin is the 21st alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet. Sorry, and the value is 300. And then the next letter is Mem. Mem has the value of 40. I'm not going to deal with the values and how to modulate all those things too, because I don't have much time. Then the next alphabet we see in Shamayim is the Yod. The Yod has the gematria of 10. So this is it. When you want to ascend to the heavens, the first thing you must understand is that you are going to meddle with the elements of fire and the elements of water. Is that okay? Whenever we are going to deal with heavens, we are looking at the elements of fire and the elements of water. You will understand why in the book of Daniel chapter number 7 verse 10, the Bible says that the throne on which God sits, there's a stream of fire that comes out of it. In the same way, in the book of Revelations, the Bible speaks of how that before the throne is a sea of glass. The same throne. At one instance, there is fire oozing out from the same throne. At another instance, there is water oozing out from the same throne. If you come to give me of a revelation or a vision or an encounter whatsoever of your visit to the heavens, one of the things I will ask you is, what did you meddle with? Is it with the water that is in the heavens or the fire that is in the heavens? Let's assume the heavens is the clouds. If you are going to go beyond the clouds, obviously you must deal with this element. It is the reason why when the Bible was giving the profile of Lucifer, the Bible says that you have climbed up and down the stones of fire. What is the fire for? Because we have been on the earth, our elements, our proclivities, our inclinations are towards the things of the earth. And mind you, maybe we'll get there. It is not everybody that will have the chance to ascend to heaven before the rapture. The Bible said in the book of Psalm chapter number 65 verse 4, he said, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." You have been told in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, "We who were once dead hath he now quickened and has made us to sit together with him in heavenly places." That is true. But in our operations on the earth, not many have the opportunity to ascend. Eventually, in the end of days, we will all ascend. When we ascend, we will still have to meddle with the element of water and fire in the heavens. That is why when you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible says that for every man's work must go through the fire. What fire is he talking about? The fire of the heavens. You cannot transcend from this earth into heaven without passing through the fire. And he says that if your works please the Lord, then he says that your body will be preserved. In Revelation chapter number 21, he says that in that day there shall be no more tears, no more weeping, no more death. Why? Because the Lord will give of us the fountain of heaven. This is it. At salvation, these elements of the heavens are supposed to be deposited in the believer. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, because of time, we cannot be doing lots of reading. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, he says that he has planted the world in your heart. Other versions say eternity in your heart. Other versions say he has planted the heavens in your heart. The New Testament says that by faith we know that Christ dwelleth in our heart. But the same Christ, we are seated with him in heavenly places. So if Christ is in your heart, then literally heaven is in your heart. If heaven is in your heart, then when I look through your heart, I must see the element of fire and the element of water. That is why when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. But he left something out. That one, I'm believing that maybe by the time I drop the mic and go and sit, he will tell me why when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he left the element of fire out. He says that no man can enter into the kingdom of heaven unless that one has been born by water. Another way to say to be born by water is to come out of water, to have your origin from water. The next thing is to be born of fire means that your source is fire. Is that okay? And this thing is supposed to be inside you. In Matthew chapter number 3, verse 11, John the Baptist is giving an account concerning Jesus. He says, me, I baptize you now with water. That is where the difference is. With Nicodemus, he says that to enter into the kingdom, you must be born by water and the Spirit. But when John the Baptist was giving the account of Jesus, he says that, I, John, I baptize you with water. But he that cometh after me will baptize you with the Spirit. And he added the most important thing, and with fire. So if you are in church and you say you have been baptized, you are speaking in tongues. It means that you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But there is another element. Where is the fire? That is what many of us have not come to understand and appreciate. So we are contented with the fact that we are born by water. And there are lots of men of God, they pride themselves with the fact that they have entered the water. We have no problem with that. They pride themselves with the fact that they speak in tongues. No problem. But have you been baptized with the fire yet? Because that is what completes the composition of the heavens. So in John chapter number 7, verse 37 to 39, the Bible says that in that last day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stood up and said, if any amongst you believe in me, out of your bellies, out of your heavens shall flow rivers of living water. So understand that when you got born again, there is the river of the heavens that was planted inside your belly. When you got born again, there is an element of the shin that was deposited inside you. So Paul will speak to the church in Rome in the book of Romans chapter number 12, the verse 11. The reason why many of us, we are serving in church, but we are cold, is because we have not come to the awakening of that fire element in the heavens in us. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When you read it in King James, it doesn't come out the way it's supposed to. Let me see what the ISV says. Romans chapter number 12. The verse 11, reading from ISV. Never be lazy in showing such devotion. Never be lazy in showing such devotion. Be on fire with the Spirit. King James says, be fervent. When you are to look at the etymology of the word fervent, it means fire, but when you just read it literally, it doesn't come out the way it's supposed to. So, One of the necessary requirements of every worker in the house of God is the awakening of the fire elements of the heavens inside them. You see why we come to church and somebody is praying? You are praying, all right. You are praying in the Holy Ghost, all right. But you just be praying. Have you seen Pastor Tew? Solo brongom bom bron tom brene mene 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 me shatete. And then the adoration way there. He's praying. Church is going on. The fire is not there. You see why you can go throughout the whole week. You have not prayed on your own. And you feel nothing. Show me a man that has ascended the heavens, and I'll show you a man that carries fire. See, when you see any man diligent in his work, it is not a gift. It is something they have contacted. You see how when you have the mic and you are leading, your mannerism, your composure, something is not burning inside you. No. So from here, when you just look at how you go about things, your word study, your prayer life, probably you don't have the eyes to see that you have made a visit to heavens. But today I came to tell you, with the elements of that fire inside you, you have visited heaven. So I've dealt with the shin, I've dealt with the mem, and there is the yod. Because of time, let me drop the yod. Because the yod is the smallest of the alphabets in Hebrew. But that is that which encompasses all the alphabets. The yod is just like a dot. Do you remember the Bible says that forever, O God, thy word is settled where? In heaven. It is the yod element in heaven that makes it happen. Because there is no way you can write any alphabet without the introduction of the yod. It is the spark of energy in all things that are created. The yod. And the yod, when writing it, is suspended in the air. It's just like a comma that is suspended in the air. It speaks of the matters of the heavenlies. Let me drop that one so that. So this is it. When we speak of the heavens on the earth, first, understand that we are speaking of the authority of the heavens being introduced on the earth. And I spoke to you about the place of the Garden of Eden. Is that not why, when God planted the garden, the foremost instruction he gave man is to have dominion on the earth? Hast thou known the ordinances of the heavens, that thou wouldest bring forth the ordinances or the dominion thereof on the earth? The next thing you have to understand also is that when we speak of heaven on earth, we have come to the place of the new creation that has been exalted into the place of Christ in the heavens. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, I've explained that. Now, let's look at the structure of the heavens. In scripture, let me put a disclaimer on this. In scripture, there is nowhere that has been mentioned the first heavens. although you hear renowned ministers speak of that. I'm saying this so that years after year, if the Lord appears to me and rebukes me, it is easy to go and drop that video from online. I speak as how I have learned from men. But we don't stay there. He is still teaching us. If he comes to me and says that there is nothing like first heaven in the ordinances of the heavens, I delete it. It's simple. Because there are times that you have people in church, years from now, if I'm to come and I'll say there is nothing like structures in the heaven, it'll be like, this man of God is confused. Years ago in 2024, you said there is first heaven, third heaven. So literally there is the first heavens. That is the place of the starry bodies, the sun, the moon, and stars. So in scripture, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there's not just one heaven. There's not just one heaven. In Hebrew, anytime you see the alphabets, I am, ending any word, it means it's plural. Just like when in English you see S ending any word, it makes it plural. In the same way, in Hebrew, anytime any word ends with I am, it means it's plural. So for the Hebrew to write heaven and make it Shamayim, it means that literally there is no singular heavens. It is plural. It is the same thing in the Greek. So if the Hebrew is agreeing with the Greek, then it means that we are settled with that. There is not just one heaven. There is heavens. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, God will speak to the people and will say, would the heaven, yea, even the heaven of heavens, contain me, knowing that I dwell not in a house made with the hands of a man. So it means that even with heaven, there is the heaven of heavens. And he says that even in the heaven of heavens, God is not in there. So where then does God dwell? So you must understand that there is not just one heaven. You look at that from Matthew chapter number 3, verse 16. When Jesus was being baptized, the Bible says that, and the heavens was opened. Not heaven, the heavens was opened. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, he says that he that descended is the same that also ascended and was raised, or he went far above all the heavens. Amen. Amen. Are we here? Just the same way, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse number 2, the Bible says that Paul says that he knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, he knows not. But this man was caught up and he went into the third heaven. So it is from there we have the principle that if there is third heaven, then likelihood is that there is the second and there is the first. Are we clear now? But if you ask me that, show me where it is written in Bible, I can't. And if I'm to use my experiences to explain, you will say your experiences are not the Bible. So let's stay there. My experiences are not the Bible, but you have forgotten that everything in Scripture is the experiences of men. You see where the confusion is. You can't accept my experience, but you can accept the experience of Paul. You can accept the experience of Jonah, and you quote Jonah chapter 1. That's fine. Now, when you look, or when you study Revelation chapter number 21, the Bible speaks of the fact that the names of the apostles will be on the foundations of that great city, the New Jerusalem. And he says that there will be gates in that city, and the names of the 12 tribes shall be on that gate. Because of time, I cannot delve into it. But when Moses was blessing, and not just Moses, but when Jacob was blessing the 12 tribes, there were blessings that he proclaimed upon each tribe. Those are portals of the heavens. So any gate in the New Jerusalem that you engage, you are engaging an ordinance in the heavens. So if you are to delve deeper into that, then we are going to have 12 different dimensions of the heavens. But let me sum all of them up and put all of them into 3 dimensions of heavens. So there are three different dimensions of the heavens depending on their frequencies and their vibrations. When we speak of frequencies and vibrations, let me use this example. I don't know, now things have changed, so I don't know if it still exists, but when we were young, there were things that were exclusively reserved for the father of the house. Things like where he sits, he doesn't share that with anyone. So when you enter any house, the vibrations in that chair is different from the vibrations in all the other chairs. There are certain vessels and utensils, they are reserved for only the father. Do you know how it will feel when one day you go to such a house and you are served with that vessel that only belongs to the man of the house? What does it mean? It means that you have been elevated to that rank. You have been elevated to that frequency. It is the same thing. The atmosphere where God is seated is different from the atmosphere where the angels of God are. Do you realize that when Peter and the others went to the tomb, they didn't see the body of Jesus? They met the angels. The frequencies are not the same. If they had met the Christ himself, it would be different from when they met the angels. It is the same way. There are dimensions of the heavens. There is the set heaven, one. When I speak of the set heaven, I mean the one you and I, when we were in Sunday school, were taught that it is high, 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 high up there where God is seated. That is the set heaven. That one is immovable. That is where his throne is. You and I, now that some of us, we don't have the code to visit. You see, when we speak, we read from Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. So when you have the opportunity to stand and you are in the heavens, you should count it a privilege. It shouldn't be the place where you want to use that to con the ladies in the church. It should be a privilege, because not everybody has that chance to ascend. There was a time I was dealing with Psalm 24. Who can ascend into the hills of the Lord? Who shall stand in his presence? Mm-hmm. I left out one. I've not touched on that yet. Maybe the next time I'll have the opportunity to lead prayer, then we'll do that one. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity? That one, I have not done it. But we have done the clean hands and the pure heart. So even Jesus, in the book of Psalm 24, verse 7, The Bible says that after his resurrection, he wanted to ascend to the set heaven. And the watchers wouldn't open the gate for him to enter. Psalm 27, 24, verse 7, if you can have it. Jesus, I spoke to you about the fact that in heaven there are ordinances. In the book of Revelations, I think chapter 11, that's one of the areas that he mentioned that John will open or lift up his eyes and he says that he saw the temple in heaven and the doors were opened. The doors of heaven are not always open, especially in this dispensation. It is not always opened. Just so that when you have the chance to enter, you don't think that it is by chance. There are times that you would have to wait for years behind that door and he wouldn't open it. So there is the set heaven. That is the place where in Revelation chapter 4, John will speak about the seraphims who are above the throne and the cherubims who stand around the throne and the elders. All those are ordinances in the heavens. But mind you, it is an astral realm. That is why from today you can go to your house and at a particular portion of your room, you can plant the heavens there. And any other person that enters your room won't see it, but only you know what happens there. It is because that has been the place of fellowship with you and your God. That is where he gives you his ordinances. It is an heaven that you have planted in your room. But that one is not the set heaven. The set heaven is that one, that lofty one, where the throne of God is. Are we clear on that? The next dimension of the heavens is the malleable heaven. The malleable heaven. It is the heaven that is formed. When you read the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, verse 19, Paul speaks over his children. He says that, my little children, in whom I travail until Christ be formed in you. Now, we have just equated Christ to the heavens. And in Christ, we have the dimensions of the heavens. Because he says that we are raised and seated in heavenly places. Plural. And we have just said that the heaven is not one. There are dimensions of the heavenly experiences. That is why you can tell me of your heavenly experience and I may not agree with you. It doesn't make your experience wrong. You came from a different dimension. When our experiences are the same, it makes it easier for us to flow on certain matters. For him to appear to him the way he did, I wasn't in that vision, but I'm describing how he appeared to me. It means there is a commonality in what he is dealing with us. So when I have a visitation and I ask him to check in for me, I trust what he's telling me. Is that okay? So the fact that somebody is doing something that you don't agree doesn't mean he's false. His experiences are not the same as yours. And the painful thing is when people have made ascensions and they are giving their narrations and you that all you know about is to move from Takoradi to Accra to Kumasi, and you want to challenge their experience. Let's go to the malleable heaven. So Paul says, my little children, in whom I travail day and night until Christ be formed in you, until the element of water and fire be formed in you, until the heavens be formed in you. Don't forget that Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says that I have planted the heavens in you. That is the malleable heaven. That one expands. One of the things that when you read Bible, you know of God. I have stretched the heavens with my own hand. That's one of the things that he brags of. He stretches the heavens with his own hand. That means that heaven is not static. Heaven is ever growing. That is the reason why we cannot consume everything that is God. We can never finish God. Especially if you are going to be dynamic with your dealings with him. One of the things that my heart pants for, I want to come to the place where, even when I have visited a preaching, a message that I have preached before, it should come with new fire. That is one of the things that I always pray to God about. And so, some of us, we don't have the experience of preaching almost every time. The only thing we have is to lead prayer. I have told myself, God, help me. I don't want to repeat any prayer topic. No. Even the times when I have no option, I have to repeat it. I pray that let the fire be different. By you. 5 years of being born again. Every day, the same prayer topic. Your fire is down. Your fire is down. Every day the same. No. Do you know what? It means that it is only one side of the face of God you are always seeing. Very soon the light will go out. How do we assess? Mind you, the set heaven is only accessible by the called ones. The malleable heaven is only accessed on the premise of intimacy. The more time you spend fellowshipping with the Spirit, the more the heavens expand. The more your experiences expand. And one of the things that you must understand, if your heavens are expanding, it means that the angelic works around you is also expanding. Not all angels are in heaven. Some angels are perpetually with you here on earth. But you are frustrating them because the same heavens that was planted in you as salvation is the same heavens now. It hasn't changed. So Psalm 35, the Bible says, the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. The third dimension of the heavens is the mobile heavens. So, if we say God is seated on a throne in the set heaven, then this one that men of God keep telling us, God visited me, then which God visited me? Is it that he has left his throne to visit me? Or he came with his throne? That's a question that we must answer ourselves. Because even when he was seated on the throne, Lucifer wanted to overthrow him. That means that if he is to get off the throne, another angel will arise and revolt. So let's settle the fact that God does not get up from his throne. Neither does he move his throne from the heavens. Because the moment he lifts his heavens from the heavens, it ceases to be heaven. So you will understand why in Revelation chapter 4, John will speak of the fact that I saw a throne set and a man sat on it. We set thrones. So, to better understand the mobile heavens, you must understand the visions of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter number 1, Ezekiel speaks of the cherubs, and then the book of Psalm also speaks of God riding upon the wings of the wind. That is the mobile throne of God. God is spirit. That is what John 4 says. If he is spirit, then don't think that he is unilocational. It is you and I that by the limitation of our flesh, we can't be at two places at a time. God is not like us. Is that not what the Bible said? God is not a man. So God can be here and still be in heaven. The Bible speaks of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 13. He says that he that is in heaven is the same that is here on earth. So he is on earth, yet he is in heaven. So that is the mobile throne of God. How then do we assess the mobile throne? It is only on the premise of those who are conscious of the move of the glory. That is why when I started, I said, the thing that is happening, it is not about copying others. It is about understanding the ordinances that has been committed to you and following it. It is the reason why the artist of Ghana can copy the rhythm of what is happening elsewhere, and the impact will never be the same. It was not committed to us. If we can locate the mobile throne of God, let's be focused on the glory that is coming. That is the only way we will become partakers of that glory. So you will understand why in Genesis chapter 18, the Bible says, and God appeared to Abraham in Mamre. And Abraham was seated in verse 2. He was seated in between the gates. And he saw three men. How do you see three men coming and you can see God amongst them? The matter that we are talking about, it is not joke. So in this mobile heavens, only those who have learned to move in the glory. How do we engage with the heavens? So you would understand why sometimes when we stand to minister, we choose to close our eyes. Because when we close our eyes, we close the gates of everything that is happening around us. And we concentrate on the heavens that is seated inside us. How do I engage the heavens? Fundamentally, you must understand that engaging the heavens is a matter of right, not a privilege. It's a matter of right. Get this. That which the diviners and the sorcerers and astrologers experience is different from what we are talking about here. The best any diviner or astrologer can get to is the second heavens. And it's at the level of the second heavens, that's where the power of the prince of the air dwells. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That is the best any diviner, any astrologer can get to. When we are to talk about the place of the set heaven or the place of the third heaven, it is exclusive to only those who carry the elements of the water and the fire inside them. By virtue of your new birth, don't forget we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So, whenever a man is conscious of this fact, it gives you the right to assess the heavens. And this rides on the principle of placement. The moment we came in the placement of adoption in Christ, we were given the keys to the heavens. Is that okay? We're given the keys to the heavens. So from today, you must make it a point. You are eligible to access the heavens where God is seated. Don't ever allow anybody to deny you of that privilege. The next thing that you must know in engaging the heavens is that you must engage the right sound. Invest yourself in hearing what God is saying and not what contrary voices are saying. I wasn't able to touch on that. What forms the heavens around us is the word that has been committed to you. Anytime you hear a word, it is a key to unlock certain portals in the heavens. Let me show you one instance. You see, many of us, many people in the body of Christ, because our battery level is down, when we stand to speak in tongues, don't forget that I have explained to us that one of the ways to quicken yourself when speaking in tongues, you must hear it. Hear yourself when you are speaking. Now, there are times when you stand to speak in tongues, certain wordings come in the language you are delivering, and it hits differently. The reason why sometimes when we are speaking in tongues, we stress on certain words, we put pointers and stresses on certain words, is not for fun. Because sometimes you are speaking in the language of the Spirit, and you just come to a place where all you hear is no, 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 no. There is something inside there. Stay there. There is a key that has been committed to you. If you stay long enough, it will open. So don't just speak in tongues for fun. Engage and invest yourself in hearing the right sound. The reason why many of us, we want to engage in prayer, it is not working. Get this. The sound around you is wrong. You see why there are certain men of God and ministers of God, when you sit and meditate with their songs quickly, you switch. It is because of the vibrations and the frequency from which those songs are coming from. When you hear the right word, it will propel you into an ascension. In Revelation chapter number 4, verse 1, he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a word say, come up hither. That is the only word you need to ascend. Are we here? Are we here? And the place of engaging the right sound rides on the principle of profession. In Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 3, the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. When you understand this, you will form the heavens around you. So you are traveling. I am not alone. That song that you have been singing, it's a profession. I am not alone. The angels of God are around me. They are all around me. You are creating a heavenly experience around you. Sometimes, do you know how we engage visitations? Just imagine them. That's the next one. The place of imagination. Imagine them. Do you know how the cherubs are called? Figments. That is why almost every image you have concerning the cherubs is different. Everybody and how they appear to them. Your imagination is your own. Nobody can ever charge you for imagining what you don't have. Imagine it. And it's a principle in the spirit. If you can imagine it, you can see it. You have a burning desire inside you. You feel like you have to be prophesying. Imagine it. Especially when you see a man of God that ministers in the same way or in the manner that you want. Imagine yourself doing it. Many of us, it will take us years before we will have the privilege of ever preaching. If you are going to wait until the time when you'll be given the mic to preach, it will be too late. When you are alone before your mirror, imagine yourself preaching. Nobody can ever come to your room and say, you are not a pastor. Why are you preaching to yourself? It is my imagination. I have the control by it. Very soon, you will see it with your eyes. Let me give you a truth. All the miracle workers you see on television, most of the things you see them do, it was an imagination in their closet. Don't ever think what I'm doing now, I didn't know this is what I would do. Although there are times, the moment you stand up, he takes over and the whole thing changes. But the first thing is that you must walk in the rooms of imagination. So before you mount the pulpit, you have already imagined what it's supposed to be. That is how the prophetic flows. So when you are growing in that thing, you'll be like, hey, it's like when I was preparing, this is how I saw the thing. And the moment it was your imagination that was creating the thing. You imagine yourself having a very fine wedding. The only thing we must do is that every imagination must be unto the obedience of Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says. Bringing all imaginations to the obedience of Christ. So let's say you are imagining yourself having a wedding in a yacht or in a boat. You get it? You must ask yourself, is that according to the obedience? No, that will be another time. Before you go and imagine some things, it doesn't work. You say, hey, it's up with this one. If you feel. Oh, Jesus. The fourth one. So don't forget, we have mentioned the fact that it is your privilege to go to the heavens. And that rides on the place of placement, on the wings of placement. And another way to engage the heavens is in your confessions. It's in your professions. Speaking things around you. Very soon, the things that you have been confessing will be the things that will be playing out around you. The third thing is the use of your mind. Imagine. The fourth one is that plant earthly substances into supernatural portals to secure the depth seeds of the divine. Plant earthly substances into supernatural portals to secure the depth seeds of the divine. In the book of Genesis chapter number 14, Abraham is returning from the battle and he meets a man, Melchizedek. And the Bible says that he gave a tenth of all that he had. And Melchizedek served him with wine and bread. Do you realize why there are certain things a believer can be praying about for years? Nothing will happen. But he gives it to his man of God or her man of God, and in seconds, it's done. The testimonies that you hear, I was looking for a job, I came to meet Papa, Papa said this. When I went, bam, it worked. This is the principle. Don't forget, every man walking is a walking heaven. Whenever you put any substance into them, you invoke the heavens which is upon them to work for you. So there are things that it should have taken you maybe 10 years for you to get, if you are even going to pray almost every day, which is not possible. But you meet men that have invested years into prayer, and then by virtue of you sowing into them, you cash into the years of their labor. That is how we participate in the heavens of men. It is the reason why sometimes when we come to church, from opening prayer till the benediction, there are portals that are released here and there. When you sense that which has been opened, you drop a seed. So some of you, maybe you don't know why some people drop seeds here almost every time. That is the reason. Because the portals are not open all the time. Don't forget that although we have the privilege to go there, it is not open to us all at the same time. There are times I have the privilege when I come to church right from the opening. It's not a matter of who is leading. It's simply because the Father himself has lavished himself on us. Right from the opening prayer, the presence is here. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, let's read the verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaiden has not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. In this dimension of engaging in the heavens, it is about what you have. If you can trade what you have, you will get what is deposited as the heavens in people. In the book of Philippians chapter number 1 verse 7, Paul said that you have been with me in my bonds. Paul was speaking to the church in Philippi. He says that you in Philippi, how you participate in my grace is because you are sharers with me in my bonds. This thing that I'm doing, I'm sharing the burden of the man of God. If I do it faithfully, the heavens upon him will work for me easily. So you don't understand why somebody will be sweeping the house of God and will never get sick. Because he's sharing in the bones of the man of God. Unless you do it without understanding. But today, understanding has come to you. When you have the opportunity to lead worship in church, it is because you want to share in the heavens in the house. It is only pride that will let a man think that, like what I'm doing, I can't say I'm coming with my own grace. I failed already. Whatever preparation I'm coming with, I must make sure I'm submitting it to the heavens in the house. That is only when the grace in the house can work for me. Let's go to the fifth one. How do I engage in the heavens? This one is similar to the place of professions and then perception. Construct a prophetic testimony of the unseen by your confessions. By your confessions. In the book of Numbers chapter 13, the verse 26 to the verse 33, the Bible says that the 12 spies, they came with their individual confessions. Listen, that your eyes see it doesn't mean you should confess it. It is the reason why many of us, when we have scary dreams, we think that because it is scary, it means that in reality it is scary. Your eyes are seeing one thing, but let your confession be according to the ordinance of the heavens. You are seeing it that it's not good, but that is not what you pray toward. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, the servant of the prophet came to him, and he says that the army of the Syrians has surrounded us. They have ambushed us. And the prophet of God said that they that are for us are more than they that are against us. How can a man be seeing an army coming to capture him? And then he says that they that are for us are more than they that are against us. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. There is a different eye with which everyone that was to walk in heaven on earth must walk with. There is a different eyes. That is why all prophets will come to Jehoshaphat and they will say one thing, but Micah will say a different thing. It is the consecrated eye you use. If your eyes are consecrated, your confessions will be consecrated. Is that okay? If your eyes are consecrated, your confessions will be consecrated. There are times people share things with me, and obviously, if it's not a good thing, my first response is to smile. And they don't get it. And they are like, oh, Pastor Bendy, once you tell him this, he will laugh. I'm not laughing. My experiences are not like yours. My reactions are not like yours. Don't force me into experiencing how you experience things. How do I engage the heavens around me? You know what the Bible said in Hebrews 13:1? Hebrews 13:1 was there. The next one. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In your walk on earth, fish out for people that carry the extraordinary and tie your knot to theirs. It is not everything you must fight for. You see how you can be looking for a job and all you need is somebody to link you to somebody in authority. The person has been doing campaign to get to that position. You were never there when he was campaigning, but just by the opportunity of somebody linking you, you get to participate in the opportunities that he enjoys. When you meet Papa and you ask him the puzzling questions on your mind, you are engaging with the heavens that he walks in. He has spent hours studying, you are using seconds to enjoy it. Right. The last one, raise altars of covenantal blessings to ensure permanence and transgenerational transference. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7, verse 7, the Bible says that the less is blessed by the better. In the verse 10, he says that Levi was in the loins of Abraham in the time when he met Melchizedek. That is how come priesthood came from the loins of Abraham. There are heavens we might be the only ones engaging. But there is a generation inside us. They will come to enjoy of the same, even in our absence. Do you realize that in the heroes of faith, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, I think the verse 35, he says that all this they died having not received the promise. There are men who have been seeking for a certain promise, like Simeon and Anna, who have been in the temple praying for the salvation of God to come. When Simeon now meets the Messiah, he says that now my soul can live in peace. There are others, they would pursue it for years, like David. The chance of building God a house will never come. It is Solomon that must do it. Let's be on our feet.
I hope you've been blessed by this message. For more information, visit our website at www.glorylifecity.church and connect with us on social media at Glory Life City Church. Contact us on 0266-384105 or 054-984-6235.